You're listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. I'm an intuitive, astrologer, writer, and mother, but mostly I'm a gal navigating spirituality in a refreshingly real and honest way. Join me as I share weekly energetic insights and laugh out loud real moments of my personal journey into more heart, more soul, and a whole lot of fun along the way. Hello, friends. Happy Friday. Wow, that was stunning. Guys, I have nervous energy in my body and I want to talk out the nervous energy and then we'll dive into today's topic. So the story I'm about to share has little relevance to the topic I'm talking to today, but also I just feel like things happen in my life and I need to speak them out on here because otherwise it just feels weird that you guys aren't across the things. It's not even that big a deal. If you saw my post recently on social, you know, basically, but it's so funny because on Monday, I spoke to in What's the Vibe This Week, how I had the perfect parenting day and I needed to capture it in time because there'll be moments where I don't have those days and I need to reflect back. Yeah, literally the following day, the Tuesday, I had a clusterfuck of a day when it comes to parenting. And if you have been listening for a while, you'll know that I have a history of an irrational phobia, well, it's a phobia of vomiting. And I've done a lot of work on it and I've done a lot of purging this year as a result of the work I've done on it. And I've come around, definitely come a long way since before I had my little girl, that's for sure. And she's definitely come through to make me face every single one of my irrational fears head on. That's absolutely one of the reasons that she's chosen me as her mother and I have chosen her as my teacher. But I decided on Tuesday, which at the time of recording, this was yesterday, I woke up and I'm like, we're going to go on a date. I'm going to take her to Bangalore. We're going to go to Woods Cafe. I'm eating a cheese scone. She's going to get a croissant. And I just was so excited. And we got up, we got ready. My little girl backstory has never, ever been good in the car. But what I mean by good is she hates the car. She only allows me to play her 10 songs on loop. I mean, thankfully there's Lizzo in there. It's not like she's listening to the Wiggles. Like, I'm very grateful for that, but her 10 songs on loop, or we try classical music with her when it's really bad. But also she gets motion sickness. And so where we live, we are in the hinterland and every road is windy. So when she's in the car with us, we have to take longer routes to get places, like mainly freeways. And I give her homeopathics to settle her stomach. And for the most part, it's been okay. I don't know if I shared what happened on Mother's Day, but that was a nightmare. And I ended up covered in her vomit. It was classic Mother's Day. But then otherwise she's all right. Like, the homeopathics have been okay. However, yesterday we are driving and before she vomits, she does this little cough and she did the cough on the freeway and I fucking tensed up. I was like, oh no. And we got to the road that our destination was on and she started to projectile vomit all over herself. Now, the thing is, if you're not a parent, you don't understand, and it's fine. I'm going to explain it to you. When your child is in their car seat vomiting, they then are choking on their vomit. Like, it's not, and I'm sure, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, it's very scary in the moment. I'm sure they've made car seats so that if something like that happens, it's not dangerous to them, but I freak. So I stopped the car mid traffic. Thankfully it was in a cul-de-sac, jumped out, put in park, obviously jumped out, pulled her out of the car, and she's vomiting all over me, all over the road, all over herself. And I was on my own with her. So there's my car in the middle of the road in park, stopped traffic. I do not want to put my daughter back in the car seat because she's going to be sick again. And she's already covered in sick. I'm covered in sick. That's her knocking at the door. She knows I'm talking about her. And I'm just like in this absolute heightened stress response. And there's this random guy across the road and there are these cars that I'm having to like direct around my car. I'm like, I'm sorry, like covered in vomit. Everyone's looking at me with pity. And asked this man if he could please just pull my car into this random driveway so I could at least get it off the road. And
then I had to call Trenny to come and park my car for me. And then I had to just wear her out so that I knew she would sleep on the way home. Oh my gosh. This is stuff about parenting that does not get spoken enough to. Like, that was a whole scenario of my entire day. Then when I was wearing her out at the park, I had a change of clothes for her, because if your child gets car sick, that's just a given. But I always forget changes of clothes for me. So I was covered in her vomit. Like, it was awful. And panicking about the drive home and willing myself to just get back in the car. She's going to fall asleep. Get back in the car. She's going to fall asleep. It's going to be okay. And the entire 25-minute drive home, just like checking the rearview mirror to make sure that she's asleep and okay. Guys, it was a nightmare. And this isn't the first time it's happened, by the way. This is just the most recent experience, and it's still very fresh. I woke up this morning, and we usually do a play date now. It's Wednesday, and I cancelled. I was like, I'm just not in the state where I can get her in the car. My nervous system, oh my God, you can hear in my voice. It's shot, like, and it sounds silly. It's like, she's okay. I'm okay. She's fine. As soon as the vomit's up and out, she's fine. But it's a really, it's just really hectic. I'm so glad, like, it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it was pretty extreme. So it just takes me back to last year, where it took me a good 6 or 7 months to even drive by myself with her. I never left the house with her because I was fearful of this sort of thing happening. And I know that part of my little girl, she's staring at me through the window. She's so wise. Part of my little girl, as I said at the beginning, she is here to help me face off with the extremes of my, you know, paranoia, or that like shadowy scorpionic south node undercurrent that, you know, we're all being called to face at some, in some way this time. I'm just gonna let my dog in. But yeah, I definitely, I actually haven't cried about the experience until right now, which is so interesting. I spoke it out with Trenny and I was like, okay, I'm definitely much better. Like, I didn't go into a freeze response. I was like straight in, looked after her, looked after myself, like just was on top of everything. But it was just, yeah, it was just really hectic. So that is where my energy is at today. I just have this knot in my stomach. I guess I'll explain to you guys what I did to land back in my body after yesterday. So when I did get her home, we both had a bath together, which is really good. Like, firstly, to clean it all off, but then secondly, to just like reestablish connection. And then we had a big sleep. And I did a daily rest practice by candlelight last night. It was a really slow, beautiful yin class, which really helped my nervous system. We had an early night last night. I woke up before my family this morning and sat in ceremony. And this is actually the point of the episode today, so it's a good little segue. Sat in ceremony. I cleared my energy. I cleared my energy to my daughter. I'm so glad that I can do self-clearing. If you are wanting to establish a self-clearing practice, then Zoe Bosco's book, Change Your Life, will teach you how to do that. So I did that process this morning. And I think this is probably why the emotion is coming up and out now, because I've kind of pulled at the threads that have wanted to come through. But I've also reached out to my friend Cass and asked her if she can please do some remote Reiki on me. And yeah, I'm just really being conscious of not pushing it, because I know that it's very apparent that my nervous system is really rattled by that experience. Oh my God, it's so hectic. I journaled, I did all the things. So anywho, that is the realistic context as to where I'm at right now. But the conversation I wanted to have today is about plant medicine. And as I mentioned in Tuesday's episode, I will be mostly talking from my experience as a ceremonialist in the context of cacao as a plant medicine. But there are a few things that prompted me having this conversation today. Firstly, a beautiful listener, Emily, who's also a member of Coherence, my monthly cacao membership. She reached out and said, hey, Holly, it'd be really great to hear more about, you know, the specifics of cacao, why we work with it, how it works as a plant medicine, how I discovered it and those sorts of things. And then somewhat not coincidentally, I was invited to an event last weekend for a local brand that have just launched their cacao. It's not just ceremonial cacao, it's cacao for everyday use. And the event was hosted in a really beautiful way with such deep reverence, respect and integrity for the relationship that we have to plants and plant medicine. And I thought, gosh, that's a really beautiful lens to have this conversation through, because what I am seeing, and I do live in a region that takes things to the extremes in some cases, but what I have been observing, not just in this region, in fact, there's deep respect up here in this region, I've got to say, but just in kind of the industry I work in as a whole, is there is a lot of integrity and respect, yes, for plants, and also there has been much misuse and blatant disregard for the sacredness of working with plants. And that is cause for concern, particularly when people are just starting to establish a relationship with plant medicine. Now, when I talk to plant medicine, I am referring to any plant that is used in ceremony or ritualistic context to bring about some sort of healing. Now, this can be as simple as blue lotus, which is a plant that I was only introduced to over the weekend. Very subtle, very gentle, and very beautiful in its medicine. And I'll explain my experience of that a little later on. Also, obviously, speaking to something like cacao and ceremonial cacao, but also more or less, mainstream approved medicines like mushrooms, mushroom journeys, and ayahuasca, which is a plant that's used in Peru for journeying, shamanic journeying, and everything in between. I mean, there's multiple ways you can use plants as medicine. There's tobacco, you know, cambo, there's so many different modalities. And I want to say to start with, I mean, you guys know this, but disclaimer, I am not someone who is making recommendations of what plants to use or not use in your own life, especially when it comes to more of the inverted commas extreme plant modalities. I know people who have had incredible experiences using plant medicine. I know people who have had absolutely traumatic, awful experiences. And the conversation I want to have is around, if you're feeling called to work with plants, how you can do that safely and how you can be trusted and guided into safety with these medicines. And in personal experience, the most extreme plant medicine I have taken in a ceremonial context is cacao. I have not gone on a ceremonial mushroom journey. I've not ever felt called to ayahuasca. No judgment if you have. My husband's sat in ayahuasca ceremony. Like, there's absolutely no judgment if you have felt called to it, but it's just not something that I've ever felt the pull to. I'd much rather sit a Vipassana, like a 10-day silent meditation retreat, which has the same effects, I'm assuming, very different but similar effects to, you know, a cambo ceremony, for instance, or a harpe ceremony or a tobacco ritual. So I guess context is my experience with plant medicine started when I first sat a cacao ceremony in, I want to say 2019. And it was with beautiful Cass, who I bring up a lot, and two of our other friends. And we sat the ceremony facilitated by a shamanic ceremonialist in Cass's lounge room. And it was one of the most beautiful and awakening experiences that I had ever had. We drank cacao. The facilitator also was initiated into shamanic drumming. So we went on a drumming journey and there was some breath work involved as well, some eye gazing. It was an all-encompassing few hours. And through that experience, I had my channel activated like never before. I felt creatively tapped in like I'd never experienced before. And I also released a lot. There was a lot of, somatic release. So lots of crying, energetic release. It was a full all-encompassing experience. And I had never sat a breathwork circle at this point. I hadn't done my Vipassana yet. It was my first introduction into any sort of somatic work. And I was safely held and it was a beautiful experience. From there, it wasn't until my 30th birthday, one of my friends gifted me my first block of ceremonial cacao. And it was, he bought it through the facilitator who had guided me into my first journey. So it was a very beautiful introduction into ceremony. And when I was gifted that block of cacao, and it wasn't like a block that you get at the shops. It was literally just this block from Peru that, you know, came wrapped up in paper. And I looked at it and I felt such a deep respect for it and I wanted to use it properly. And so before I sat my own personal ceremony with it, something in me told me, no, Holly, you need to learn how to do this right. And that was when I sought out a teacher. And when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And beautiful Jamita from Anchoring the Light on Instagram, I'll pop her in the show notes, at Anchoring the Light, she opened within the fortnight of me receiving this ceremonial cacao, she opened her first ever cacao ceremonialist training. And the pull in me was so strong, I couldn't deny it. And it was like that block of cacao was saying, yes, Holly, this is right. Now, what followed from there, this was just before the world locked down, actually. This was just before 2020. What followed from there was a deep journey into being initiated into holding space with this plant medicine. It was not a light journey at all. It was about 10 weeks. The calls would start at about 9 o'clock at night and they'd end at midnight every week for those 10 weeks. And we were initiated through the lineage of the Seven Rays in Peru. We had the Peruvian maestros join us via Zoom. It was just so profound. Maestro Puma, Maestro Percy, and Maestro Sebastian are my teachers, as well as Jamita. And we were initiated into working with cacao as plant medicine. What that journey entailed was not, this is how you make cacao, this is your recipe, and this is, then you sit and make intention. There's so much substance to ceremonial use of cacao and all other plant medicines that I think is being diluted or maybe forgotten or maybe not even understood. So when I host a cacao ceremony, for instance, what the people sitting ceremony are receiving is just part of it. They're not seeing the setup and they're not seeing my daily practice that brings me into right relationship with that plant. When you are working as a ceremonialist with a plant, you are journeying with that plant every day in not just the way how you sit ceremony and what comes through in ceremony, but Gemma always says, you know, how your life is ceremony, how you show up to the altar of your life. This is about a walking with the plant medicine and a being a constant student to the plant as the teacher. This is where deep respect and reverence comes in. And again, I'm speaking to my relationship with cacao as plant medicine, but this is the same for any true facilitator of any plant medicine will live in this way. And this is how you can tell if someone is either jumping on a bandwagon or a trend or being, egoic in, I'm going to learn to facilitate plant journeys because this makes me a guru or whatever it is, versus being in deep honor and respect and reverence to the plant. And the initiation that I've received over the years through my usage of cacao as medicine has been really deep. Cacao is not a gentle medicine by any stretch, even though it's one of the more commonly and widely used plants. It's also one of the more commonly and widely misunderstood. And I think that's why it's been an interesting one when I share my cacao offerings that I receive, you know, majority of my beautiful clients that journey with me with cacao, they have continued to journey with me from when I started offering ceremonies. And it's very rare I get new people on because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding or just a lack of understanding of what it means. There's also this mainstream perception of something like a medicine journey or something like cacao, which, you know, connotations of chocolate that, oh, this is bad for me. Oh, they're just sitting a hot chocolate ceremony. Oh, they're, you know, and it dilutes again. It's this thing that mainstream does. It dilutes the deep respect for Mother Nature, Mother Earth, Gaia, and, or we call her Pachamama in, through the seven rays lineage and the profound impacts these plants can have on our lives. And they're not to be taken flippantly or lightly. It's not about sitting with a cacao powder and going, yeah, I drink cacao. That's so far from what a ceremony with cacao is. And anyone listening to this who's sat ceremony with cacao or any other plant will understand what I'm saying. And if you haven't, I invite you to be gently curious about these things. So, you know, part of what's so important when you're seeking a facilitator for any sort of medicine journey is where have they been initiated and where have they been given permission to actually use and facilitate this plant medicine journey? Because when you're working with a plant in ceremony, you are opening portals and gateways to other spirit realms. So in cacao and through the lineage that I've been initiated, I'm not in the lineage, can I just say also? No, I have been given permission from the Seven Rays lineage to host ceremony, but I am not part of that lineage. That is years and years and years and years and years and years and like decades of work. But I have been given permission to sit and facilitate ceremony in the way that they do with cacao specifically. And that is through the Chicana medicine wheel, connecting with the sacred directions, the direction portals of the east, the west, the south, and the north, connecting with the Apus. Apu is another word for mountain. And we each facilitator will have their own connection with certain Apus and mountains that bring a certain energetic flavor into their ceremonies, connecting with our unique animal guides. And if you've ever sat a ceremony with Cass, who's a guest facilitator in Coherence, you'll experience a very traditional ceremony with Cass, and you'll be able to literally feel how these different portals of the directions, the Apus and the elements as well, fire, earth, air, water, and ether. This is all woven into ceremony every single time we sit and facilitate. Even in my journeys, they're a little more bridge between the shamanic journey and a guided meditation. But before I open space, I am connecting in with the portals of the directions. I'm connecting in with my Apus. I'm connecting in with my guides, and I'm connecting in with the elements, as well as the custodians of the land, as well as with the energy of Goddess Ish Cacao, who we call in to activate ceremony. Like, there are so many components to setting up ceremony before you even sit it. And this is what I'm seeing is happening. People are jumping on something like cacao and going, let's sit a ceremony. And they have absolutely no idea of what they are activating in ceremony because they've not been taught. And this is the issue that I see with a plant medicine like cacao, which is more easily accessible. I mean, you can buy a block of ceremonial cacao over a counter, right? It's not hard to get your hands on. And you can sit your own ritual. And this is what was spoken about at the event on the weekend. Dean Benson, by the way, really great follow if you're interested in shamanic journeying with plant medicine from a place of deep integrity. And that's what's missing in a lot of the spaces that I'm seeing, where there's a almost like an exchange with the plant that's like, I'm going to sit with cacao every day and it's going to open my heart. And it's just not that straightforward. It's not transactional. Well, it can be transactional. And that's the thing. If you're asking from a plant like cacao, a plant that has been used in ancient traditions for so, so, so many years, and you are demanding things from it without showing up with reverence and respect and integrity, over time your energy will become completely dismantled. And that could be through portals that you've unintentionally activated because you've been sitting with someone who actually doesn't know how to safely open and close them. This could be through, and I've seen it with lots of people in my life who have sat an ayahuasca journey and it's fucked them up, to say lightly, like absolutely messed them up. And these plants aren't to play with, and they are not a little notch on your egoic belt to say, I sat this many things or I journeyed with these many things. In fact, if you're feeling the need to tell people how many plant journeys you've gone on or what plants you've sat with, especially the more, I want to say again, extreme ones that tend to be pedestaled in some cases, I would say that you're sitting with the plant for the wrong reasons. And that's more than likely why you're going to be dismantled in some way as you journey with it. I don't know why plant medicines like cacao or blue lotus, or even like we were shared the medicine of gold, liquid gold. I'm not sure why these ones aren't held with as much respect and reverence as the more extreme versions when you are journeying into depths. I mean, cacao is the original medicine of the heart. Like, you can't get more beautiful than that. And yet I find when we sit in this transactional exchange of I sit cacao every day and I call in all of these things, it can actually do more harm than good. So the reason that I wanted to share that is as these, and I do think these medicines are going to become more widely accepted or experienced, which there is no issue with this, so long as you are firstly showing up from a place of embodied integrity in your own relationship to the plant. You're not doing it to tick a box. You're not doing it to tell other people you did it. You're doing it because you're feeling a calling in some way to that medicine. For me, cacao has always been my thing since I first discovered it, you know, in 2019. And that's still a relatively short time to be walking with it, you know. But for me, it's always felt like coming home. And so my relationship with cacao is a very personal relationship of coming home. I don't sit and drink ceremonial cacao every day. I don't sit and drink ceremonial cacao every day. I sit in ceremonial context maybe once a week, where I'll offer my deep respect and reverence to the plant and any wisdom that wants to come through. And then on top of that, I obviously guide ceremony as well, which is a deeply rewarding experience for me. Because, and this was spoken to, Dean spoke to this in the event on Sunday as well, is you will develop some sort of soul calling or contract with the plant that calls you. And for me, I know with cacao, it's to bring its potency and the wisdom of this medicine to more people, to make it more accessible, to make more people understand why we use it and how to use it respectfully. Because the other thing is, we can lend itself, and cacao initiated me into this hardcore when I first started offering my own ceremonies. There is a strong thread around cultural appropriation. And it's a piece that I have strayed from speaking to in the past because I've bumped up against that conversation a few times. And what I have come to terms with is that these maestros, these ancient wisdom keepers of this plant, particularly, and I can only talk from the lineage I've been taught from, which is the Seven Rays lineage in Peru, they want cacao's impact globally. They recognize we are now part of a global village, and this is their language, is we are part of a global village and we are a global family. And not everyone is going to be able to travel to Peru to sit with them. And so they are teaching in the proper and safe ways how to use, honor, and respect these plants, so that then someone like me or Cass or anyone else who's been taught can go and hold the containers in honor and respect to the teachers and the land from which the plant is grown. So you can understand why then someone goes and pulls ceremonial cacao off the shelf. They've never been taught properly in their life. And then they go and hold a ceremony at a retreat they're running, for instance, as an example. It's just not in integrity and it's not respectful of the plant. And I don't think people realize this. I don't think it's done in a way that is intentionally egoic, but it is being done. And so that's where it's about bringing in respect for the teachers and the land from which the plant was harvested. So when I speak to my coherence members, it's always, you know, the cacao we use and we give thanks for at the beginning of ceremony and we call in the energy of my teachers, that cacao is harvested. It's so important that when you're sitting ceremony, you know where your cacao has come from and you know that money is going back into the communities it was harvested from. Like this is how we don't end up in this energy of take, expectation. It's an energy of service. And it's a commonly missed one. And it's not just cacao. It's any other plant medicine. Really, I guess the way that you can start to embody more of a relationship of reverence with whatever plant medicine you're feeling called to journey with is check on your teacher. If you are about to sit a ceremony, check in with yourself. Does this feel true to me? And you'll know in your body, you'll know, your intuition will say yes or no. In fact, on Sunday, when we were sitting with cacao, it was a beautiful ritual. We didn't sit ceremony. It was a ritual. There's a difference. Ceremony is activating the portals and the directions, and it's a deep shamanic journey. This is when emotion and energy is brought to the surface, and that's the experience that I hold when I host ceremony in coherence. Ritual is me sitting cacao at home and having a cacao and pulling a card and writing in my journal. But even when you sit ritual, it's before you take your first sip, asking your cup, do I have permission? Do I have permission to receive today? And if the cup or if your energy feels like it's a no, ask, okay, what do I need to get into more of a coherent relationship with this medicine? Like, it's bringing respect back into the relationship. And I know that when this conversation was had on the weekend, I wasn't the only one in that room going, shit, I got to look at the way that I am taking from this medicine and not being in full reverence to the ancient potency and the wisdom that this holds. And so over the last couple of days, I've been sitting with cacao and thanking it and also apologizing for my misuse or dilution of the potency of its wisdom, because this is what we're like. This is what we're like these days. It's take. It's I. It's I want. And what Dean was sharing on the weekend was when we get into that relationship and there's no giving back to the medicine itself, we can get ourselves into real trouble. He said this is why he sees people who have journeyed with even cacao, even a light medicine like cacao. Cacao isn't actually a light medicine, might I say. It's just more of a mainstream accepted medicine. But he said this is why he sees people's lives can start to kind of crumble away around them. And they go, but I don't understand. I've been sitting in ceremony every day. And then his lesson for us over the weekend was, yes, but are you just asking and taking? Are you actually sitting in reverence? Are you actually sitting with thanks? And so I guess that's something to think about is if you are sitting in your own practice with any plant medicine, bringing that respect and reverence back in to your relationship with the plant, asking every time before you take a sip, before you go on a journey, do I have permission to do this today? Does this feel right in my body today? And honoring what your body feels, but also most importantly, who has given your teacher permission to hold space in this way? Are they opening the space safely? Are they closing the space safely? Do you feel safely held? Your body will tell you. You will know. And it's just these things that are going to be much more safely. We're just going to be able to walk more safely with these plants because, I mean, guys, there was an inquest on in Lismore recently about, and don't quote me on the specifics of this, but about a retreat up here that was held and they went on a Cambo journey, which is frog poison. And as a result of that, one of the retreat participants died. Like, this is the thing. It's not something to be taken lightly. Like I get really passionate about this because it seems to be the cool thing to say, oh, I did this and I did that and I'm doing this next week and oh, this issue's come up, so I'm going to go on another journey. It's like, where is the journeying or the medicine becoming your outlet for shit that actually just needs to be sat with and contemplated? And like, if your answer to every challenge in your life is going on another journey, be it a cacao journey, a mushroom journey, an ayahuasca, whatever the thing is, a vipassana, then there is a too heavy a reliance and dependence on the practice outside of self. Like, what would it look like if you just sat with stuff? What would it look like if you went and did some talk therapy? You know, I think that that's what can happen in these arenas, is like we can go too far one way. We can totally reject the spiritual and the plant world altogether, or we can totally reject, you know, traditional mainstream therapy. And it's like, okay, but how can we embody both, integrate both? There's a place for both, but we don't. What, catch yourself if you're going to extremes. Sorry, I'm just get really frustrated because I've seen a lot of lives impacted by poor use and overuse of plant medicines that are more extreme. And that doesn't mean they don't have a role to play, because I know, again, people who have had incredible experience with, you know, psychedelic therapy, mushroom therapy. Again, I can't talk from my own experience because I've not sat any of those before. No judgment if you have. But just be wary of who you are receiving from. Be really wary, friends. Is there anything else I want to say on this? I feel that that's it. If you are interested, if you're like, I do want to learn more about sitting with cacao in general, I mean, your first point of call is, I mean, I would love to have you in the Coherence membership, but you have to feel if I'm the right teacher for you. And that's the truth of it, you know? And when I say teacher, I mean more ceremonialist. I'm not going to teach you how to journey with cacao. I will hold you in ceremony and you will go on your own experience every month. So that's the point of Coherence, is we sit in ceremony once with me, once with Cass every month, and you are activated. Cacao is she brings shadow to the forefront. She makes you look at emotions that have been suppressed. You think of heart, the heart medicine, right? She's the center between, I mean, we call her the center of all centers. She's the center between heaven and earth. She's the center of the body and the spirit. And so when you sit with cacao, I mean, I love blowing people's minds. I don't blow people's minds. Cacao blows people's minds. The experience blows people's minds. But I love receiving the mind-blown experiences after a first sit. They are always incredible. Because it's like, oh my God, I had my intuition come online for the first time ever, or I experienced visitation from my grandmother who passed away, or, you know, I had all of this emotion I thought I had dealt with come to the surface. Like, this is what cacao as a medicine does. It brings things through the heart. The heart is the home of love, unconditional love. So you feel those things in ceremony. It's also the home of grief. So if you've suppressed anything, it's going to come through. Like, this is what ceremony is when you're working with this medicine. It is beautiful. It is powerful. It's profound. It is deeply entrenched in wisdom. And it's why in Coherence, I only offer us two ceremonies a month. It's kind of all you need. It's kind of all you need. So that's the wisdom of cacao and how you can seek ceremony. Obviously, in-person ceremony is beautiful too. And if you're on the Northern Rivers, I know my beautiful friend Cass Maynard, she offers one-on-one journeys in person, which are just so stunning. And you need to experience them to understand. It's just one of those things you can't put words to. But also, if you are seeking, you know, you've gone on your cacao journey for a little while and you're seeking the opportunity to hold space in a way that is in true reverence and respect to the ancient traditions and the wisdom keepers of this medicine, then connecting with Gem, Anchoring the Light, I'll pop in the show notes. That she's my teacher. She is where I have journeyed and learned from. And I'm at the point in my experience with cacao now where I want to deepen my practice. Like, there is so much that you guys do not see in that happens before ceremony even starts. Like, there's something called a mesa, which is our own altar that is in respect to our own sacred direction. So you journey with your animal guides and your apus. My apus are changing at the moment. Apus means mountains. Like, there is so much that is not discussed that brings us into right relationship with this medicine to be able to facilitate it. So that's just something to think about the next time you might think, oh, I'm going to go on this retreat and I'll take some ceremonial cacao and we'll just sit and go on a journey together. Think twice. There's a way to do it respectfully, with reverence, and where it's not going to mess around with the energy or create a layer of disrespect between you and the plant. Interesting chat today, wasn't it? I would love to hear what you all think. If you are feeling called, we have our next coherence ceremony on Sunday evening, 7:30 p.m. You can join over on my website. I'll pop the link in the show notes as well. And if you have any questions, just I'm always available. Jump into Facebook. It would be great to hear from you. I'm sending you guys all my love and I'll see you on, well, I'll chat to you on Tuesday.
You've been listening to Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Enjoyed today's ep? Remember to share, subscribe, and leave a little rating if you like what you heard. And join us over on Facebook. Just search Soul Talk with Holly Azzopardi. Until next time.